The Giants had day four of training camp today, their fourth consecutive practice. They'll be taking a break tomorrow and then putting the pads on Monday. So this was their last non-padded practice before the pads come on. Obviously, an exciting time when the pads do come on and the players can start to be a little bit more physical and hit each other. But right now, we're seeing a New York Giants team with no pads, just wearing shells and having some ups and downs on the offensive side of the ball, having some real highlights on defense. That's going to be the story of today's training camp practice. And I'm going to give you guys my recap and update based on all of the reports that we're getting out of West Virginia. Now, these reports are going to come from guys like ESPN's Jordan Renan, The Athletic's Dan Duggan, and Connor Hughes of SNY. Because I'm not there in West Virginia right now, I'm not able to be at training camp and give you guys personal observations, but I'm going to go ahead and recap and summarize everything that I've seen from the reporters and everything from the videos that I've watched as well that were posted online, primarily from SNY. So let's waste no more time and dive right in to Giants training camp practice recap number four. This is Fireside Giants presented by Prize Picks, and I'm Anthony Rivardo. We're diving in now. So let's go ahead and start with Odell Beckham Jr. Yeah, he had a good practice today. He had the quote-unquote play of the day, according to everybody in attendance. It was a vintage OBJ reception, according to those who were there. It was a toe-tapping grab deep in the end zone, jumping over a defender on a touchdown from Jameis Winston. So obviously, Odell has had a quiet first few days of training camp. We've discussed that over our last three practice recaps, but he came on strong today with a big time touchdown grab, a vintage touchdown grab. And let me just go ahead and give my 2 cents on Odell Beckham Jr. and the wide receiver battle that we're seeing here on this roster. Now, the New York Giants are currently holding 15 wide receivers, so they have a bunch of guys on the back end of the roster competing for one or maybe two spots. Now, to start training camp, Braxton Berrios was the guy who looked really good and had a big, exciting day. But today, it was Odell Beckham Jr. flashing some of that athleticism despite his 33-year-old age, going up there and making a vintage OBJ touchdown grab. Now, entering training camp, I thought Odell Beckham Jr. had a really good chance of making the roster, and I didn't want to overreact to a quiet first 3 days of practice because now he's making some noise on day four, and I think he's going to continue to make some noise as the pads come on. I think once the pads come on, we'll get a little bit more of an intense look at which wide receivers on this Giants roster have a great chance of making the team, and we'll get a look at who is the most physically fit and the most athletic once the pads are on, and that conditioning and that stamina becomes all the more important. So OBJ, all the videos that I've seen, he looks good. He looks fluid. He's moving well. He's cutting. He looks explosive. I know that was something that we were questioning, of course, with him being 33 years old, having now a lengthy injury history. But so far, everything that I've seen from him, he looks healthy. He looks explosive. And I'm excited to see more of him again once the pads come on and they add that extra weight and intensity to these practices. But a big-time grab for Odell Beckham Jr. as he races the likes of Braxton Berrios, Daylon Cambry, Juju Smith-Schuster, and so many others on the back end of this roster fighting for that spot. I still feel pretty good about OBJ's chances to play in the regular season for the New York Giants in the big 2026. It sounds crazy to say. I never thought this day would come considering everything that transpired over the last 7 years. But here we are, and it is a legitimate possibility. We just got to see how he plays once the pads come on. And we also need to see how Jackson Dart plays once the pads come on. Let's address the elephant in the room for Giants fans who are watching training camp or observing the practice notes and seeing that Dart's had a bit of a struggle over the last 2 to 3 days. Now, he started really hot on the first day of training camp, but these last 2-3 practices, there has been quite a bit of struggles from QB1 Jackson Dart, and the defense has really settled in. The defense struggled a lot in that first day of practice. Last couple of days, they've been winning. Now, we've got some great takeaways on the defensive side of the ball, but let's discuss Jackson Dart. So the stats on Jackson Dart, according to Connor Hughes of SNY, he finished 14 of 24 with an interception and 11 on 11 work, and he finished 9 of 11 with a touchdown and an interception and 7 on 7 work. It was an up and down day. He started the day hot, hit Malachi Fields on a deep bomb over Greg Newsome for a touchdown on the first play. But then his next play was tipped by Tremaine Edmonds and intercepted by Paulson and Debo for what would have been a pick six. Now, Tremaine Edmonds also had an interception on a deep crosser by Jackson Dart in 7-on-7s. He has really good ball skills. I'm impressed with Tremaine Edmonds. More on that in a second. But Jackson Dart definitely had another struggle of a day following up what was a struggle of a practice yesterday. And I just want to say this about it. I remember last year when training camp started And Jaxson Dart's first pass of training camp, guys, do you remember what it was? It was a pick six. Now, a lot of you probably forgot that, but in the moment, it was a big deal to people on social media, and it was a big deal to Giants fans and fans of the NFL at large who wanted to, after one training camp pass, call the kid a bust. Then he balled out in the preseason. He got his chance in the regular season. By the time the preseason finished, everybody's like, okay, maybe we do have a franchise quarterback. By the end of his rookie season, everybody was like, yeah, I feel pretty confident that we have a kid who can be a franchise quarterback, right? So as time progresses, as more practices get under his belt, he's going to be just fine. I'm not going to overreact to 2 to 3 bad practices while Jaxson Dart is going into year two with a bunch of new playmakers that he's never played with and with a new offense that is vastly different from the one that he operated in last season. Matt Nagy's offense is going to be night and day different from Brian Daboll's. Matt Nagy's offense usually has the quarterback under center 60%+ of the time. Last year, Jaxson Dart was in the shotgun on 87% of his passing attempts, according to the 2026 Pro Football Focus annual. 87% from the shotgun. He was barely under center. I think only 10% of his passing attempts came from under center. So this is an area where he needs to improve, but this is something that is brand new to him entirely, right? He is relearning how to play the quarterback position, but to play it from a more professional standpoint where he is under center in this West Coast play action, a lot of, pre-snap motion offense that Matt Nagy is going to be deploying. Plus, it's a run-heavy offense, whereas the Giants passed the football more than they ran the football last season. So there's a lot of adjusting. This is brand new, and I expected growing pains heading into year two from Jaxson Dart as the Giants install this new offense. But a couple of things here. Number one, the Giants are not allowing anybody to film these practices, which means they can run the entirety of the offense. This is not the vanilla scheme. This is them challenging him with the full complexity of the new offensive scheme. They are not giving him any softballs. They are not giving him that vanilla offense that you're comfortable trotting out there in the preseason because nobody's going to steal that film, right? They're not doing that. They're giving him the full offense. They are asking him to be autonomous at the line of scrimmage, under center, and run Matt Nagy's offense like as if they were playing a game on a regular season Sunday. That means being thrown into that fire, there's going to be growing pains. So I am not going to overreact, and I am not going to be overly concerned by a handful of bad practices before the pads even come on at the beginning of training camp. There's still plenty of time. There's still a lot for him to learn, and there's still a lot for him to get comfortable with in this new offense, and I have no doubts that Jaxson Dart is going to do the hard work. John Harbaugh and Matt Nagy and Brian Callahan, the QB's coach, and Greg Roman, the senior offensive assistant, they are all going to do the hard work and create an environment where Jaxson Dart can develop. So I'm not overreacting. I think Dart's fine, and I'm really excited to see what he does when the pads come on next week, and especially excited to see him in the preseason in 2 weeks from today. So really excited about Dart, not concerned about the struggle of practice, but if you guys are, definitely drop it down below and let me know if you think this is something to be concerned about. Personally, I'm not totally concerned, but I want to talk about the defensive side of the ball because the defense had another great practice today. The pass defense particularly was really good. But before I do dive into that, I just want to give a quick shout out to the sponsor of today's episode, which is Prize Picks. If you guys aren't playing on Prize Picks yet, it's America's number one sports picks app, super easy to use. It's a daily fantasy sports platform that is very easy and not complicated. All you do is pick more or less on a few of your favorite player stats and lock in your lineup. Very straightforward, and it's available in most states, including California, Texas, and Florida. And one of my favorite parts about Prize Picks, you could follow people on it like you would any social media apps. You could follow me at Anthony Rivardo, and I will definitely follow you back. But you could see all my picks and lineups before I even post them here on the channel. Now, just to show you guys how it works, look, they have every sport going on. They've got the WNBA, which is hot right now. If you want to take Caitlin Clark's points, go ahead and add more Caitlin Clark points. If you want to combine that with another sport too, you can hop over to MLB. You can find Yordan Alvarez and take more on his line. So you can combine sports, you can take Shohei Ohtani, and then, hey, you want to get really crazy? Why don't you throw some tennis in there? Just to show you guys how fun this can be. There is nothing exclusive. You don't have to do only football. You don't have to do only baseball. You can just make the best lineup possible across all sports. So let's say you see a really good NBA line, you see a really good NFL line, and you see a really good MLB line all at the same time, throw them all in the same lineup, and you can definitely win your lineups big time. So very exciting stuff, very fun, and that's kind of how Prize Picks work. So if you want to get in on the action, download the app using code HMA in the link in the description. Play your first $5 and get $150 in lineups if you win on Prize Picks with code HMA. Download the app now. Good luck. Enjoy the games. And remember to always play responsibly. Diving back into it, let's discuss this New York Giants defense, this NY pass defense, NYPD. The Giants pass defense was on point today. They snagged three interceptions, two from Jackson Dart, one from Jameis Winston. Tremaine Edmonds and Paulson Adebo both picked off Dart, and Colton Hood had a pick six off of Jameis Winston. I will throw out the asterisk, though. Colton Hood, his interception did not count. According to Connor Hughes of SNY, the defense was offside, so it was nullified, but nevertheless, he still made the play, and he's been making plays all throughout the spring and summer. So still a good moment from the young rookie cornerback, even if it didn't count. That's what practice is for. You play through the whistle, even if there is a penalty. So love to see that from Colton Hood, and really excited about him, especially as we get more information on the secondary that has a lot of moving parts and definitely a lot of question marks. I'll say this about Tremaine Edmonds. He made two great plays in coverage today. He did have the interception. It was on a deep crosser from Jackson Dart in 7-on-7s. But in 11-on-11s, he closed out on a pass, broke it up, and then it ended up being picked off for a pick six from Paulson Adebo. So Tremaine Edmonds has great ball skills and a huge presence in the middle of the field. That's what I keep reading and hearing about Tremaine Edmonds, is that his presence as this big 6'5" hulking figure in the middle of the defense has definitely reshaped the way that the offense can attack those passing lanes. And that's one of the things that he was absolutely brought in to do. He has got great reach and great wingspan to affect those passing lanes, something that he's done all throughout his NFL career. But also, Tremaine Edmonds is a great run defender. Now, I'm not going to give you guys any information on the run defense because I can't. Yes, I've read that there's been a lot of runs through the middle, that Scatabu's breaking, that Singletary is getting some, you know, some yardage on the ground, but there's no pads on, guys. And Giants.com's practice report yesterday actually highlighted that. They said, hey, there were some big runs that were broken, but it's hard to tell whether or not they would have been stopped at the line of scrimmage because there's no pads on and they're not allowed to tackle the ball carrier. But certainly at least some of those big time runs could have been stopped if the pads were on. So I'm not going to give you guys an evaluation on the run defense just yet, even though I know that's one of the most important storylines for the Giants this offseason. They have to fix that run defense. It was atrocious last season. They allowed the most yards per carry in the league last season. The run defense ranked 31st, but so far it's been difficult to gauge how the run defense is doing. But once we get those pads on, let's see how Tremaine Edmonds, DJ Reader, Shelby Harris, all these guys affect the run. Like I said, Tremaine Edmonds definitely making plays in pass coverage, but I do also want to highlight Paulson Adebo. Sounds like he had a decent practice. I don't think the pick six was the only play that he made. I think the pick six is an encouraging sign, though, because yesterday we discussed that on day two of practice, Dan Duggan of The Athletic said he had a rough day. He said that he wouldn't lock in Paulson Adebo as a 17-game starter if he continues to play this way. Now, that was his hot take. Let me clarify that. He wasn't making a specific prediction. It was a hot take. But nevertheless, it obviously caused some concern for Giants fans, rightfully so. Paulson Adebo didn't play great last season, but I said yesterday on the episode of Fireside Giants that I did, I am not hitting the panic button yet. It's way too soon to hit the panic button on Paulson Adebo after just a couple of shaky starts or shaky practices at the start of training camp. So still feeling like he can bounce back in this defense. And I'll say a tipped pass turned into an interception means that the defense was likely playing zone coverage, and zone coverage with a lot of press is exactly what I envision this Denard Wilson defense to look like. And it's exactly what I think Paulson Adebo can thrive in. So let's keep monitoring Paulson Adebo. I'll keep giving you guys the update day in and day out about how he's doing. Let's talk about Malik Nabers. Malik Nabers did practice today after taking yesterday off. The whole team has off tomorrow. I doubt Malik Nabers is going to be practicing with pads on Monday. He might do individual drills, but he's not going to be involved in the team drills just yet. In fact, on that note, he did individual drills today. He's done individual drills each of the days that he's practiced. No team drills just yet for Malik Nabers. Obviously, in those team drills, that's where things do get a little bit physical. There is some contact. That's where you do run the risk of some injury. The Giants are being very careful with Malik Nabers. They are not rushing him back. No timetable to return just yet. They are just getting him acclimated and back into the swing of things, and I'm happy about that. So happy to see that he was back on the practice field today and that his body is responding well to what the Giants are doing. So just going to read this, though, from Dan Duggan of The Athletic. He tweeted something to kind of summarize the up and down day for the offense. He said, quote, "The first two plays summed up an up and down day for the offense. The good, Jackson Dart hit Malachi Fields on a bomb over Greg Newsom on the first play. the bomb. Dart's next pass was tipped by Tremaine Edmonds and intercepted by Paulson Adebo for a likely pick six. Edmonds also picked a deep crosser by Dart in 7-on-7. Edmonds has impressive ball skills for a linebacker. Now, I know I kind of read that earlier, but I just wanted to reemphasize that the defense really did win this practice, and the offense did have its struggles, its turnovers, but it's not been all bad for the offense. Dart is hitting a good amount of deep shots right now at training camp. He had a deep one to Darnell Mooney the other day. He had a back shoulder pass to Malachi Fields yesterday. He had another deep one to Fields today. Big shout out to Malachi Fields, who seems to be having a very good camp. You had Odell Beckham Jr. going up there and making a big grab for a touchdown. Theo Johnson scored a touchdown today as well. I know a lot of fans have been concerned about him due to some drops early in camp, but he scored a touchdown delivered by Jackson Dart. So I'm saying all this to say I'm not hitting the panic button because Jackson Dart has a low completion percentage early in camp or because the defense is clearly winning these matchups so far in training camp. What I think this is just that the Giants, they're running a defensive scheme that's familiar to a lot of these players, although it is vastly different from the one they were running last year, because guys like Deonte Banks, Greg Newsome, Paulson Adebo, all of these guys have experience playing a zone-heavy press coverage defense. They were just playing out of position last year, of course, with the New York Giants, as they were playing a off-coverage, no jam, no press, soft man. So very different. So I just think it's been a quicker acclimation point for the defense than it is for the offense that's running an entirely new scheme with an entirely new staff with an entirely new bevy of playmakers. So it's just very different for the offense. I think there's just going to be more growing pains, but also let's see how it looks when the pads come on. Maybe the run game is really churning out yards and that opens things up for the passing game. Who knows? We'll see. I'm just really excited to get these pads on Monday and start to evaluate things a little bit more. Like, among the things that I say, guys, keep an eye on as we do watch a padded practice on Monday, keep an eye on how Francis Maui-Noah is able to anchor against real defensive tackle strength from the NFL level. Obviously, he was an animal at right tackle for the Miami Hurricanes in college. It's why the Giants drafted him 10th overall to be their right guard. But let's see how he performs against NFL defensive tackles. I do think that's something to keep an eye on. Is he just opening up holes all day long for Skadabu, or is DJ Reader getting the better of him sometimes? I'm also excited to see the battle between Andrew Thomas and Abdul Carter. That's been one of the battles of the summer so far, right? With Abdul Carter winning a lot of these speed rushes off the edge. But once the pads come on and Andrew Thomas can be a little bit more physical, let's see if he wins. So that's definitely something I'm keeping an eye on as the pads come on Monday, is the battle between Abdul Carter, Andrew Thomas, and even Kayvon Thibodeau and Jermaine Illuminor and Brian Burns and either of the tackles, all these pass rushers versus these tackles. Let's just see those battles unfold. That's when things get really exciting. So yesterday's practice, we discussed Ben Sauls as the better of the two kickers that the Giants have on the roster. He was locked in. He made most of his field goals. I think he missed two, but he hit one from 59 yards in yesterday's practice. Today was the opposite. Zavada didn't attempt any kicks yesterday. Today, Zavada went 12 of 13 from field goals, according to Justin Penick of Talking Giants. So big shout out to Justin for being there on site and collecting that information. But he said that Dominic Zavada went 12 of 13, and he was a primary kicker for the Giants special teams unit today. Very excited to see that, and very happy that Dominic Zavada is having a good practice and making this a legitimate competition. You don't want to see anybody run away with the kicker battle early in camp. You want to see it be a competition, and so far, so good. We are getting a decent competition in the early portion of training camp. Now, let me just do one last check and see if there are any more takeaways that I have for you guys. I think that's really it. Yeah, defense playing great, offense up and down, some big plays from a couple of the playmakers, and the pads are coming on Monday, and I can't wait for that. So super excited about it, guys. Definitely know what you let me know down below what your biggest takeaways of training camp so far have been. Drop it in the comment section. If you enjoyed this episode, leave a like, subscribe if you're new, ring the bell so you don't miss an episode. I'm doing daily practice reports and recaps on the channel for New York Giants training camp. And also, we're going to be doing live streams for the preseason. And you guys know, if you've been around here for a while, we do daily New York Giants content. We talk about everything New York Giants on this channel, and we are going to continue to do that all preseason and season long. So definitely subscribe if you're new. Appreciate everybody tuning in. And if you guys were sticking around to the second half of yesterday's episode, and if you made it all the way to the end of this one, I'm going to give you guys a little surprise here, and I'm going to introduce you to my dog. He's still nameless. I'm going to have a name for him by the end of the weekend. I've got a short list of names that I'm picking between. Really like a few of them. Think I know where I'm going to go. But if you guys have any name suggestions, definitely drop them below in the comment section. But yes, Fireside Giants has a new mascot. This little guy who was sleeping at my feet while I was recording this episode. I'm going to show you guys my little boy. Ignore the pink collar. That's all the adoption center had, but we're going to get him a new Giants blue collar in the coming days. But he's 3 months old. He's a precious, kind little baby, and I love him already. So very happy to have my son make his first appearance. Not really my son, obviously, but yeah. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, if you're listening on audio or Spotify, I adopted a dog yesterday. I'm very excited about it and very happy to add another member to the Fireside Giants family. So yeah, shout out my little pup. Drop your name suggestions down below in the YouTube comment section. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Let me know your biggest takeaways from Giants training camp. I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good one, and let's go New York Giants.